Okay, so we
Can't
begin
complain. Can't. I mean.
this one in Sichot Musar, Ma'amar Yud Gimel, entitled Gamzu Letova. Echad Migdolei Tanaim Nikra Betoar Gamzu. Nachum Ish Gamzu. One of our great Tanaim, he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, and he's known by the name Nachum Ish Gamzu, the man of Gamzu. V'nikra ken mishum shal kol ma she'ira lo haya omer Gamzu Letova. And the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit Kaf Aleph tells us the reason why he was called Gamzu, because anything that happened to him, any tragedy that befell him, he would always say, Gamzu Letova, this too is for the best. Gamzu Letova. Ve'lo nizkar klal betoar Rabbi. He's never mentioned as Rabbi Nachum. He's just known as Nachum Ish Gamzu. Even though from the generations of Hillel and Shammai and on, the Tanaim are known by the title of Rabbi, right? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon. But him, he's not known with Rabbi, he's known as Gamzu. Mikan Mashma, so we can gather from that, Shehatoar Gamzu hu gadol me'atoar Rabbi. The title Gamzu is actually greater than the title of Rabbi. Umeachar shezacha letoar Gamzu, so therefore once he attained such an accolade, such a title of Gamzu, shuven tzorech lechanoto betoar Rabbi. So now there's no need to give him the secondary title of Rabbi. So this needs explanation. Neva'er et devarenu. Why is this Gamzu letova? Why is this such a great title, such a great shevach to the Tana HaKadosh, Nachum Ish Gamzu? Beperush Baalei HaTosfot al HaTorah ubeBaal HaTurim. In this week's parasha, the Baalei HaTosfot and the Baal HaTurim amdu al ha'inyan, they reflect upon the matter sheParashat VaYetzei kula stuma. If you look in the Sefer Torah, or in a Tikkun Sofrim, the entire Parashat Vayetze is called Parashat Stumah. There are no openings. It doesn't make it easier on the Baal Koreh, right? Parashat Vayetze is all closed. It's long pillars of Psukim of Torah without any breathing space, without any Parashiyot Ptuchot, without any openings, as is normal throughout the entire Sefer Torah. Parashat Vayetze is Stumah. En balo parasha ptucha velo parasha stuma. Everything is closed. V'katvu b'tam ha'davar. So the Baal HaTurim and the Baalei HaTosfot, they explain what's the reason, what's the symbolism behind that. She'aita brichat Yaakov mipene Esav achiv b'chashai. Because in this parasha we learn about the escape of Yaakov from his brother Esav. V'yetze Yaakov miber shava v'yelech harana. That escape was done stealthily. It was done quietly. He didn't want anybody to know where he's going, so that word does not get to Esav. So he did it quietly, in a way of stima. It was satum, it was closed. So the parashat Vayetze is closed in order to hint at that point that Yaakov left in a quiet and secretive manner. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz is asking, Hine kayadua, we know, nitnu afsakot ha-parashiyot le-Moshe Rabbeinu kedei litbonen ben parasha le-parasha. We know the Gemara tells us, what's the reason we have openings between the parashiyot and the Torah? Why is there space between paragraphs in the Sefer Torah? The reason being, in order to afford Moshe Rabbeinu time to be mitbonen, to think into each parasha, which means he would be taught, he would be told by Hashem one parasha, parasha meaning paragraph, and then he would be given some time to reflect upon it, to think into it, right, to meditate in it. And so that's what the openings in the Sefer Torah refer to. That's what they signify. So the question is, Imken afshe barach Yaakov Avinu baseter ubachashai. So therefore, even though Yaakov Avinu escaped in a secretive manner, why is that enough of a reason to close up the entire parasha without giving us without affording us the chance to think into each paragraph. Just because he left, why is that so important to signify in the, you know, in the format of the way the parasha is written? Still, don't we need time to digest each and every paragraph? Why is the fact that we need to hint to Yaakov's escape so much more important than our chance to be mitbonen in each parasha? Vetzarich iyun, that needs, you know, thought. So you understand the question? Basically, what we're asking is, okay, we understand it symbolizes that Yaakov escaped Bechashai quietly. Why is that so important to put, to hint at in the format of the Torah? And to forego the revach ben parasha le parasha liitbonen. Amar HaKatuv, the pasuk in Yeshaya, we read it in the Haftarah of Lech Lecha a few weeks ago, the first pasuk, Yeshaya perek mem, pasuk kav zayin, Lama tomar Yaakov utdaber Israel, nistera darki me Hashem. O Yaakov, O Israel, why do you speak such words? Why do you say, nistera darki me Hashem, that my ways are hidden from Hashem? Hashem is not looking at me. He's not supervising. Why do you say that? Lama tomar Yaakov, don't say that. That's the pasuk. Ve'amu Chazal, Chazal in the Midrash of Bereshit Rabbah say, Me'olam lo amar Yaakov davar batel elakan. Yaakov Avinu never spoke an idle word. He never said anything that didn't have tremendous depth and content except this statement. Except this statement. Apparently Yaakov, when he was running away for his life, he said, Hashem, where are you? Nistera darki me'Hashem. Hashem, are you with me? What's going on? Chazal come down with a harsh musar on Yaakov, of course, built on this pasuk in Yeshaya. Lama tomar, how could you? This was the one time Yaakov spoke dvarim betelim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani asuk lehamlich et beno, ve'hu omer lama hareotem li? I am busy making his son a king. And he says, Lama hareotem li? Why did you do bad to me? Yaakov Avinu told his children, this was in the story of when Yosef was sold by the brothers. So Yaakov Avinu complained. He said, Lama hareotem li? They came back from Mitzrayim and they told, this is in Parashat Miketz. They came back from Mitzrayim and they told Yaakov Avinu, you know, we told the viceroy of Egypt, they didn't know that it was Yosef yet. We told him that we have a family and we have a brother that we left back home. So Yaakov Avinu was very upset. Lama areotim li lagid laish? Why did you have to do that to me? To tell him that you have another brother? Oh my goodness. So Hashem from Shamayim is saying like this, Ani asuk leamlich et beno. I'm in the midst of making his son a king. And that's how he complains? Look at this tremendous musar. I mean, Yaakov Avinu, how is he supposed to know that Yosef is becoming a king? For all he knows, Yosef is, you know, it was sold away or was eaten. Bichlal, was so, and yet there's a blame on Yaakov. Hadau dichtiv, that's what it says. Lama tomar Yaakov nistera darki mehashem. Vehainu, di Yaakov Avinu dan et hamikre haprati. See, now here comes the crux of the whole matter here, the main part. What was the ta'ana, what was the claim on Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu at that point, at this particular time, dan et hamikre haprati, he looked at the particular part in what was happening. He looked at that one point, individual point, which apparently looked like a bad thing that happened to him. Leolam en ladun et haprat levado. Underline that. Leolam en ladun et haprat levado. Never take one point, the individual point that is happening, and judge everything based on that. That's a very narrow outlook in life. Ki becheshbon haklali, because we will see that in the overall summation of all the details, nir'eh kol prat be'or acher, each detail will be looked upon retroactively in a different light. V'chein haya kan, and so was here. Hakol haya kalul b'cheshbon haklali, this prat of Yosef being sold, of the brothers coming back and telling him what they said, and each and every detail of the story was all included, all together, in one big overall general cheshbon, lehamlich et beno, to make Yosef king, letovato, for his good, uletovat haklal, and for the good of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, this one time, we're only saying it because Chazal said it, this one time he slipped up and he looked at the detail in itself and he complained about it. And that is not to be done. We should never look at one detail and focus on it individually. We should always remember that that detail is one among many details that when they are put all together, it makes up one big picture which will ultimately show that everything was pointed in the right direction and was for our benefit. You know, the Gaon Mevilna wrote a letter to his family when he went one time on one of his galuyot, one of his exiles. He went traveling, so he sent a letter to his family. It's known, we have it today, called Igeret Hagra, the letter of the Gaon Mevilna. And it says there, he quotes five words, Lemachar tivkeh me'asher hayom tishak. He says, tomorrow you're going to cry over that which today you laugh about. And the other way is also true, right? That tomorrow you will laugh about that which you are crying today. Asono shel ha'adam hu shedan et ha'mikre ha'prati. The tragedy is when a person judges a detail in and of itself. Be'od she'en ha'mikre ela chulia ktana mima'arechet klalit gdola. He says, when that detail all along is only one little link in a long chain, and the cheshbon, the calculation of everything, is bound to change from one end to another. What looks very sad right now could ultimately prove to be the best thing that ever happened to the person. Are we beginning to get the message here? What he's driving at? This is the depth of the wisdom in these three famous magical words. Gam zu letova. Gam zu letova. Notice, it doesn't say zo letova. This is for the good. Something bad happened, you say, this is for the good. No. This is also for the good. Gam zu letova. What's the gam? What's the word gam? Gam signifies that there are other details here, but I'm only looking at one detail. Gam teaches me not to look at this detail by itself, but to understand that it's a part of a number, a great number of details that are all put together for one big story, which is Letova. She'eno dan et haprat lefi ma shehu nireh, ela omer gam zu, besofo shel cheshbon, this too, at the end of the day, will be letova. Muftachu ki hacheshbon haklali uletovato. He is assured that the cheshbon haklali, the general overall cheshbon, is letova. Ukemo shekatuv, as it says, a pasuk that we say every Shabbat morning, Teilim Yutet, in Hashamayim Mesaperim, it says, Mishpete Hashem emet, the judgments of Hashem are truthful, tzadeku yachdav, they are righteous all together. Yachdav. When you put them all together, all the points, all the details are put together, then you realize tzadeku, that they are tzedek. Bir'iyat kol ha'masim yachdav, nir'eh et tzidkat Hashem v'mishpatav. When we look at it all together, then we see the tzedakah of Hashem. U'mishumken ma'ala gedolai me'od. That's why this is a very big Ma'ala, it's a very big quality in life to have, and that is to see gamzu letova, to see each prat not in its own light, but in light of the overall picture. That was the level Nachum Ish Gamzu reached. You have no better praise and title and accolade than that. Now, as I told you, Nachum Ish Gamzu had a great Talmid, a great disciple. His name was Rabbi Akiva. And he exemplified this Midah as well. Mekach nahag gam talmido shel Nachum Ish Gamzu, Rabbi Akiva. The famous story, let's learn it together right now. Kedita bigmara brachot, Daf Samech Amud Bet. In Daf Samech Amud Bet, we have a story of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir, v'chein tana mishmei de Rabbi Akiva. It is taught in the name of Rabbi Meir, and it is taught in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir was the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Leolam yehe adam ragil lomar, a person should always be in the habit of saying, he should train himself to always say, kol David rachamana letavavid. Everything that the merciful one does is for the good. Again, kol mai David rachamana letavavid. This is nifsak lehalacha in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it's a halacha meforeshet, I think it's Siman Resh Lamed Aleph, where it says, Leolam yehe adam ragil lomar, a person should always be in the habit of saying, kol mai David rachamana letav avid. Ki had Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Akiva, hava ka'azil be'ucha, he was once traveling on the way. Mata le'ayim mata, he reached a certain city. Mata with a tet means he arrived. Mata with a taf means a city. He arrived at a city. Be'a ushpiza layahavele. Bikesh makom lalun ba'ir velo natnu lo. He tried to look and ask for a place to stay over the night, right? An inn or a bed and breakfast place. And nobody wanted to, nobody was available. Nobody gave him any board, room and board for the night. Amar kol David rachamana letav. He said to himself, okay, everything Hashem does is for the good. Azal uvat bedabra. He went and he slept in the field. He spent the night in the field. V'hava ba'de tarnegola v'chamra ushraga. He had with him a rooster, a donkey, and a lamp, a candle, a lantern. Atazika kavyele shraga. A wind came and extinguished his lamp, his light. Atashunra achlele tarnegola. Sounds a little bit like Chad Gadya, but no, it's not it. The cat came and ate his rooster. Ata arye achlele chamra. A lion came and devoured his donkey. Amar kol David rachmana letavhu. For each and every incident, Rabbi Akiva had one response, and that is, "Kol David Rachmana Letavavid." What Hashem does is for the good. Bebelelia, that night, Atagayesa, there was an army that came, Shavyele Mata. It captured all the people at that night. It captured all the people of the city, of that city. Amar Lehu, so Rabbi Akiva turns to those who were with him. Lav amri lechu, did I not tell you? Kol ma she'oseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu hakol letova, that everything Hashem did was for our good? And Rashi explains, ilu haya ner daluk, if we would still have the light of our candle, haya gayas ro'eoti, the army would have seen us and captured us too. Ilu haya chamor no'er, if we had our donkey, and the donkey would make any sound, any noise, or atarnegol kore, or the rooster would make its noise. Haya gayas ba v'shoveoti. The gayas, the army would come and capture us too. So it was all letova. Man nora haya matzavo shel Rabbi Akiva beota sha'a. How fearsome, how terrifying was Rabbi Akiva's situation at that time. Tzarichu lalun basadeh michutz la'ir. He has to sleep outside of the city, out in the field. והמקום הוא מקום חיות רעות. It's a place where you have animals roaming around. מאון עריות, you have lions there, as we see. בחשיכה ללא נר, in the dark of the night without any kind of light. תרנגול מעורר, and a rooster to wake him up in the morning early. No. והחמור, האחד שברשותו נטרף, and the one donkey he had was devoured by the lion. Can you imagine? Just translate that into a little bit more modern language, you know, with a car, with our phone. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine? Phone and no charger. Gone. No Wi-Fi. Oh my goodness. It all went out. Blackout. How would we react? Ve'ala kol omer Rabbi Akiva kol David Rachmana letavavid. And Rabbi Akiva calmly and collectively, in each and every prat, he said, Kol my David Rachmana letavavid. Notice the words, Kol my David. I cannot focus on the prat itself, on the detail itself. I'm going to focus on the Kol. Kol my David. When Hashem, everything he does, when it's all put together, when it's all said and done, it's letav avid. Then I will see that that prat, that detail was letav. Ve'achen zachar Rabbi Akiva lirot miyad et ha'cheshbon ha'klali, and therefore he merited to see. He was able to have that foresight to see the cheshbon ha'klali. He saw it. It came to. That doesn't always happen. But Rabbi Akiva was on the level that when he said kol mai David rachmana, he felt and meant it so much that he was granted the opportunity to actually see how everything came to fruition in a good way. Waking up in the morning. Tzeruf kol pirtei ha'me'ora hochiach shekol prat asher haya nir'e ra'a v'amar kesheleatzmo haya nes mamash. The connection, the combination of all the details proved that each detail, as bad as it looked at the time, was a miracle. והכל יחד היווה מגילה ארוכה של הצלת נפשות. Everything together made up one big מגילה of salvation for Rabbi Akiva ובני ביתו and the people of his household באופן מופלא, in a wondrous way. וזאת על כל אחד לדעת. And that is something that each and every one of us has to know. כי כן הוא באמת, that this is the truth, בכל היסורים והמקרים הבאים על האדם, רחמנא ליצלן. In all yisurim, suffering, and all happenings that happen, af im en nireh lo ken, even if we don't see it, even if we don't get it, we don't understand, how is this going to be letova? We have to understand that that is the truth, with a capital T, of the world. That's what gamzu letova means. You know, Rabbi Akiva is the letters of Rabbi Yaakov. Yeah, Akiva has the letters Yaakov. Could be. Maybe he's metaken here, the little slip up that Yaakov Avinu had on, with the pasuk of Lama Tomar Yaakov Nistara Darki Mehashem, came along his descendant Rabbi Akiva, who has in him the word Yaakov, the name Yaakov, and he was metaken that blemish. What is that? He continues here and he says like this. He goes a little bit deeper into this matter. אף השכר והעונש המגיעים לאדם בעל הבחירה משתלבים בחשבון הכללי על ידי הקדוש ברוך הוא בחוכמתו העליונה. We're learning here that every individual detail in life is really a part of a general picture, and so that's the depth of the words גמזו לטובה. We're going to learn as an extension to this yesod that even when it comes to reward and punishment that come upon a person who's a baal bechira, human being is a man of choice, and he therefore is rewarded for when he does good or punished for when he does bad, the reward and punishment is incorporated into that big general picture that we're talking about by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous wisdom. Hashem knows how to, at the same time, punish the individual for what he chose to do, and yet not let that interfere with the big picture. In fact, it becomes part of the ultimate big picture that Hashem has in mind to bring upon the world. In order to understand this, we need to continue and see what he gives as an example. וכמו שדרשו רזל על הכתוב, לכו וראו מפעלות אלוקים נורא עלילה על בני אדם. David HaMelech says in Tehilim, Samech Vav, he says, go out and see the workings of Hashem, Nora Alila al Bene Adam, how awesome he is when he takes recompense or retribution upon people. Ve'amru, the Midrash Tanchuma in Parashat Vayeshev says as follows, Af ha-nora'ot she'ata mevi alenu, ve'alila ata mevi'am. Alila here is sort of used in the term, in the context of an excuse. That even the noraot, the punishments that you bring upon us, is done in a way of finding an excuse how to fit it in. What does that mean? Kach amar Adam lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam HaRishon says to Hashem like this, pay attention. עד שלא בראת עולמך קודם שני אלפי שנה, הייתה תורה אצלך אמון, right? What does Hashem tell Adam as a punishment? Ah, Adam, now that you ate from the tree that I told you not to eat, דא כי מות תמות, you're going to die. I thought you're going to live forever, you're going to die. Adam הראשון says to Hashem, who are you kidding, Hashem? What do you mean? הרי the Torah that you wrote was in existence 2,000 years before the creation of the world, right? V'katuv ba, and it already states in the Torah, Zot ha-Torah Adam ki amud be'oel, the halachot of a person who dies. So the concept of dying, Adam ki amud, don't tell me you just thought of it now, because it's in the Torah 2,000 years before I was ever created. And you're making it like, now that I sinned, now I'm going to die. What do you mean? You knew that already from before. Ilule she'itkanta mavet laberiot, hayita kotev ba kach. If it wasn't for the fact that you planned, if you would not plan death upon mankind, would you ever write that in the Torah 2,000 years before I was created? Ela bata litlot bi et ha'aliyah. It's just that, Hashem, you are manipulating history in such a way that you're bringing it about in a way that it looks like I'm the one who brought about death to the world. We're learning here a very deep concept, Rabotai, in history. Rabbi Miller used to talk about this a lot. That everything is predestined by Hashem. Hashem knows that what's going to happen. This, of course, this touches upon the famous conflict between Yedia and Bechira, the knowledge of Hashem and Bechira, and the choice that mankind has, which we will not go into, you know, the famous question about that right now, but we know that it is the truth. In fact, Rabotai, it is Rabbi Akiva who says in Pirkei Avot, I just remembered, Rabbi Akiva says, Hakol tzafui v'hareshut netuna. Everything is already seen beforehand by Hashem, and yet reshut, bechira, is given to mankind. So Adam had Bechira, and he sinned with that Bechira, with that free will, and he was punished by Hashem with the punishment of death. Even though death was already predestined to be a part of mankind, but Hashem made a Alila. Alila means he made it so that it came about through the sin of Adam HaRishon. So that we learn the lesson of what sin is, of Hachet Memit, that sin brings death to the world. V'chen u'mer b'Yosef. Another example, the Midrash Tanchuma in Vayeshev continues and says, V'yir'u echav ki oto ahav avihem. The brothers saw that Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef. Right? B'shvil keton et pasim garam lechol ha'shvatim lered l'mitzrayim. Because of that nice tunic, colorful tunic that Yaakov made to his son Yosef, so it brought about the jealousy of the brothers, and one thing led to another, and they all came down to Mitzrayim. Now, if you just learn the story just like that, if you read it offhand, It seems like, whoa, if it wasn't for that tunic, if it wasn't for the Ketonet Pasim, we would never go to Mitzrayim. Yaakov, look what you did. Well, because you made the Ketonet Pasim, we went down to Mitzrayim. Amar Rav Yudan says, Haya Kadosh Baruch Hu mevakesh lekayem gezerat yado atedah ki ger yeh zaracha beretz lo lahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already foretold. In Parashat Lech Lecha, he told Avraham Avinu, your descendants are going to be in a foreign land. They're going to be slaves in a foreign land. So this was already foretold that we're going to be there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused, he manipulated history so that it should happen. That which was supposed to happen anyway, it happened through what Yaakov Avinu did, that he showed favoritism to Yosef, and that brought about jealousy, and the jealousy caused that they sold him to Mitzrayim, and on and on, and everyone came ultimately to Mitzrayim. Kedei sheyoahav Yaakov et Yosef yisneu echav veyered im hashevatim yishtabedu sham. So he says, look in the Midrash there, shemashlu baze mashal nifla, the Midrash brings on this mashal. Imagine a guy wants to divorce his wife. He decided he's divorcing. That's it. I had enough. Finished. He went home. He wrote up a get. He comes into his house with the get in his hand. That's it. I'm giving it to her. End of story. But he doesn't know how to give it. He comes in. I'm just going to hand it to her. What's going to be here? He's looking for an excuse to give it to her. So he said, can you give me a cup of wine to drink? Mazgalo. She poured him a cup of wine. Why not? Kivan shenatala kos miyada, amar la hareze gitech. She gave him the cup of wine. He gives her the get. Amra lo, ma pishi. She says, well, what did I do? I gave you a cup of wine. You give me a get. What's my crime here? This cup that you gave me, it's not exactly the temperature I like. I like, you know, warm, a little bit more. I see. You already know that I'm going to give you this cup of wine in such a way. You already wrote the get before. You just wanted some excuse for you to be able to give the get without any guilty conscience. Kos ha-poshrim eno asiba le-girushin. That cup was not the reason for the girushin, for the divorce. Ela lehefech. It's the other way around. Right? Hu rotze le-garesh. It was the fact that he wanted to divorce. U-mechapes mashu li-tafes ba. And he's looking for something to have a handle. V'chenu ma'aseh ha-adam. So the same thing when it comes to ma'aseh ha-adam. Eno ela ila li-tafes bo. It's only a handle. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an ultimate plan for the universe. He has an overall picture of how history has to shape itself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom and intricate chokhmah, is able to weave into that all the choices that mankind makes with all its consequences and with all its ramifications. Hashem knows how to put it in the right time so that it fits in to the global, to the universal picture that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already predestined from before. Vedodi Agaon Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the uncle of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Slabotka Yeshiva. That was Rabbi Miller's Rebbe. Alav Shalom. We have his sefer, it's called Leket Sichot Musar. Rabbi Isaac Sher's Sichot is in the three-volume set called Leket Sichot Musar. And he was the uncle of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And he says, Haya me'orer sheze kavanat ha-navi besipur ha-dvarim shel ha-mlachat Shaul. If you know the story of how Shaul HaMelech became king, then you'll know what we're about to talk about. If not, you have some homework for today. Look up Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet. Shmuel Aleph Perek Tet. Look at the whole story of how Shaul came about to be king. What happened? Shaul innocently was sent by his father to go look for three donkeys that went off. Three donkeys that he lost. Apparently they were very expensive and very important. And so he asked his son, Kish, asked his son Shaul, please go with our servant here and, you know, find, go and look for those atonot. Avdu ha'atonot lekish aviv, yatsa Shaul v'na'aro levaksham. He went. Ukshelo metza'o savar Shaul achzor lebeto. So the Navi tells us the story there. When they walked and walked for 3 days, I think it was, and they failed to find the atonot. So Shaul said, okay, let's get back home. We don't want to worry our father. He's probably worried about us already. Let's go back. So his servant told Shaul, he said, you know, Shaul, why don't we go to the Navi, Shmuel, Hanavi, let's go. He's around, he's in the vicinity. He's not too far from here. Let's go ask him. Maybe he, with his Ruach HaKodesh, will tell us where those donkeys are. So now when they came, remember the famous words, Anochi haro'e. They asked Shmuel, where is the ro'e? Where is the seer? Where is the Navi? Shmuel said, you got him. He's right here. That's me. Like the famous story about the Chafetz Chaim. Someone came to visit the Chafetz Chaim and he sat in the waiting room, you know, all nervous. He's about to go into the office to meet the Chafetz Chaim. Next to him sat an old, simple looking man. And so he asked him, he said, the old man asked him, why are you here? He said, I came to see the Chafetz Chaim. I came to... So the old man tells him, that's me. I'm the Chafetz Chaim. What would you like? So they came to Shmuel. So he told them, what would you like? And he told them, oh, those three donkeys? Don't worry about the three donkeys. Your father back home, he already found them. He already found them. And then he added the words, Ulemi kol chemdat Israel halo lecha. And to who does all the glory of Israel belong, if not to you? He already hinted to him that he's going to be the king. Sheba navi lelamdenu she'en ladun ve'lishpot et ha'mikre ha'prati. Which means the Navi is teaching us, don't look at the detail itself. What was the detail? Shaul and his servant, they were focused on finding the lost donkeys. That's it. That's what took up their mind. Shmuel told him, that's a speck of dust in the overall picture. Because what's about to happen is much bigger. All that only happened so that you should come here and I will anoint you as king. Don't look at the details. Ki afilu dvarim ktanim kmo avedat atonot. Even such small things, quote unquote, as losing the donkeys, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechaven bahem lidvarim gdolim. Hashem uses them for the purpose of bringing about big matters, such as malchut, as kingdom. Ve'akol shakul umadud bedikduk atzum, and everything is calculated to the exact, to the T. Kimo shematzanu sham, like we find in the story there, shematzu ne'arot yotzot lishov mayim ushalum, on the way, looking for Shaul, for Shemuel, when Shaul and his servant went looking for the Navi, so on their way they met a group of girls who were drawing water from the well. So Shaul and his Na'ar asked the girls, Hayesh vaze haro'e? Do you know if the ro'e, if the Navi, if he's around, if he's here? Ve'lo yeshivu biktzara. Now they could have just answered, this is a famous Gemara, they could have just answered, Yesh hine lefanecha. Yes, he's right here, down the block. And that's it. But if you look in the psukim there, in Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, He'erichu me'od, they started talking, a whole conversation. Maher, ata, ki ayom bala'ir, hurry, he just came today. Kevo'achem ha'ir, when you come into the city, ken timtza'un oto, you'll find him. Ve'ata alu, ki oto, ki ayom timtza'un. They repeated themselves, and they were talking and talking and talking. And the Gemara, Chazal, in the Gemara, Masechet Brachot Daf Memchet, asks, ve'kol kach lama? Why did they say, they could have said three words. Instead of three words, they said a whole paragraph. So the Gemara there gives a few reasons. You know, one of the reasons the Gemara says, because Shaul was so beautiful, he was so handsome, they were just looking at him. They wanted an excuse to look at him, so they were just talking, talking, talking. And all along they're staring at him. But Rabbi Yochanan says the following, and by the way, all the answers are connected. Rabbi Yochanan amar lefi she'en malchut nogat bechaverta afilu kimlo nima. Because one rain does not touch upon the upcoming rain or the past one. Rain meaning R-E-I-G-N, meaning reign of kingdom, does not encroach upon the one who was up until now king, even 1 second, even like a hairbreadth. Which means, up until now, who was the king, meaning the leader of Israel? Shemuel. The time is about to come for Shaul to take the reins and to lead Am Yisrael. But it's not supposed to happen at 101. It's supposed to happen at 101 and 50 seconds. So therefore, Shaul is coming, and it's like 50 seconds ahead of schedule. So what Hashem do? He may put a joke into their head. They started talking to pass the time, to burn some time off, because then the time came for Shaul to become king. Isn't this amazing? He says, "Mechad movilim oto liot melech, gam keshenidme lo shehu asuk b'chipusa atonot." On one hand, Shaul is being led towards being anointed to kingdom, while he's thinking that he's just looking for 3 donkeys. Umeidach, and on the other hand, me'akvim oto, from Shamaim, they are, you know, causing him to be delayed, lishmoa tshuvat ha'ne'arot, to hear the long answers of the girls, ki adayin lo higia hazman, because wait, the time didn't come yet. Eino yachol lingua b'sraruto shel Shmuel. You can't encroach on the leadership of Shmuel, afilu kimlo nima, even by 1 second. Look how everything in history is predestined by Hashem, and yet the choices of mankind is used inside in order to bring about the ultimate goal. And here we come to where we began. This seems to be the reason why Parashat Vayetze is a closed parasha without any spaces, without any paragraph spaces in between. Why is that? Because we learn a very big message we learn here. Ki lo chalakim chalakim hi. Because Parashat Vayetze is the history of the life of Yaakov, of how it came about to build Klal Yisrael and the Shevatim. We shouldn't look at it as parts, part 1, part 2, part 3. That's focusing on the details. Ela kol prat uprat shel Parashat Yaakov mitztaref lecheshbon klali echad shel binyan Am Yisrael. Because each and every detail is all part. See the word prat in Hebrew and English part. Yeah, it's all one little part that adds up. All these details adds up to a cheshbon klali, to one big general picture of binyan Am Yisrael. That's the message behind the fact that Vayetze is all one lump of parasha, instead of breaking it to. So yes, normally Hashem broke the Torah into pieces in order to give us time to be mitbonen. In our parasha, Hashem wants us to be mitbonen on a very important lesson. And that is, don't look at the small picture and get lost in it and be intimidated by it. Remember that the small picture is a little detail in the ultimate and large picture of benevolence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for us.